Change the locks and you change the rules.
But
Miss Nesbitt knew she was leaving. We had a friendly exchange.
She's got a whole different story.
Did she have her eye on the whole prize?
You wanted that premises for your own merchandise.
It's not true.
Anybody with half a brain figured out exactly what happened here.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Thrift store owner Suzette Cook is suing her former friends and business partners, Frances Nesbitt, and her boyfriend, Scott Smith, for property damage to the store and loss of revenue.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 529 on the calendar, the matter of Cook versus Nesbitt Smith. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
All right, the basic parts of your lawsuit, Ms. Cook, is that the defendant was somehow involved in business with you, and things didn't work out in the business, and it is your claim that the defendants vandalized your property, which caused you to lose some business, and you want substantial damages. Ms. Nesbitt and Mr. Smith say that you illegally locked them out of the premises, and they have a countersuit. So let's start at the beginning. How long had you known each other before you started to go into this business project?
Maybe 6 months.
And how did you know each other?
She was a customer in my first thrift shop. And I decided to open a second location under the same name.
Okay. So at the time you met her, you only had one store?
Correct.
Wanted to own a second location. And what kind of work were you doing at the time, Ms. Nesbitt?
I am an occupational safety and health consultant.
And you've been doing that for how long?
17 years.
So this was a sideline for you?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So when you decided to open up a second location, Ms. Cook, did you identify the location?
Yes, I procured the...
Okay. And the lease was in your name?
Completely in my
name.
Is
that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And your arrangement was, according to you, that you would pay rent to the plaintiff?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, in what month and year did you sign the lease?
I signed the lease in August of 2013.
Do you have a copy of it?
I do, ma'am.
I'd like to see that. Okay, and Ms. Nesbitt, in what month did you start to pay rent to Ms. Cook?
The first check was on October 1st, 2013.
Do you have a copy of that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, her rent was $421.50. Now, I'd like you to tell me, Ms. Cook, what is your story with regard to the contract you had with Ms. Nesbitt?
We had a verbal agreement.
Yes, a verbal contract.
And I stipulated very clearly in the beginning that I could not sublet or have another business in
Just a second. I want you to tell me what the agreement was.
The agreement was that we would split the overhead of the operating cost of the business.
Yes.
Instead of coming up with a percentage of the gross sales, like a consignment would, I didn't know what the sales would be.
Just a second. What did you pay to the landlord each month?
I paid $843 and change. That's with property taxes divided.
Let me tell you something. We don't start out with sort of half-truths, because then I don't buy anything that you say. But I'll tell you why. Because this wasn't some intricate formula that you worked out. Because her rent was $421.50, which is exactly half of what your gross rent was. So clearly, based upon what any sane person would say, is that you went into this venture as a joint venture, but your name was on the lease. Probably very smart of you. Have you ever been in business before?
I own my own safety consulting business, and then I just sold antiques at the antique mall.
But never been in a business with a
no,
business
ma'am.
Lease or whatever. Well, she has. So she knows that it's very smart for her to have the lease in her name, and she has somebody who's going to pay half the lease to put their merchandise in the store. That's the drill. So let's not get away from that. Got it?
Yes, ma'am.
So now she's in there, and she's paying half the rent, despite the fact that it says that you can't sublet in here. By the way, Ms. Cook, want you to tell me when you gave her a copy of your lease.
I didn't hand her a copy.
Right, you didn't. So that she is not presumed to know that you can't sublet. Only you knew that.
I told her that.
Listen to me. You could have given her that. Only you knew that you weren't prepared to sublet. Only you knew that. So you went into this business in August. She paid you rent. And when was the last time you paid rent?
It was December 31st. It was to the end of January. I wrote the check in December.
Now, when did you tell Ms. Nesbitt, Ms. Cook, that she had to be out of the store?
Actually, it was Ms. Nesbitt who struck up a conversation with me on January 5th that she felt she wasn't making enough money.
Now, she had already paid January's rent.
Right.
So is that a conversation that, as far as you were concerned, gave you notice that she was moving?
I told her in that conversation, you are a businesswoman. You have a financial plan. If that's what you need to do, I would be fine. If you need to leave this arrangement, let me know.
You don't say anything about that conversation in your complaint. What you say in your complaint was, I found out that Francis had broken city code violations and put our store in danger of eviction. And I was the only one on the lease, so I confronted her and told her she had to remove the item. When did that happen?
There were two situations. One where Mr. Smith had turned a table over in the store.
Listen to me.
Put it.
Shh, don't say anything. I asked you when the business relationship started to go south.
On January 18th, I sent her a message that the landlord had screamed at me for having furniture in front of the store, for parking in the wrong spot, and I had told her the day before to remove a bedroom set from the front parking lot that she and her boyfriend put out in front of the store, and they refused to move it back inside. So the next morning...
Stop shaking your head. It's going to irritate me. I'm going to say goodbye to you. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Good.
The next morning at 8:30, I drove up to unload merchandise from an auction the night before. The landlord pulled up the day after the furniture had been out on the parking lot, started screaming about two things, screaming about putting furniture.
I don't care, and it's hearsay. I want to know when you told her she had to leave.
I sent her a message that evening.
In January.
In January.
On the 18th.
Saying,
And what did you say in January on the 18th?
That I had just gotten screamed at by the landlord for having furniture out front and that we should get ready to start packing.
Okay. And at what point did you change the locks on the store?
That afternoon.
On January 18th?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you can't do that.
I based that decision on two incidences, though, that I felt threatened the safety of the store and the safety of the lease. This is my only income.
Listen to me. It's not your only income because you said it was your second store.
That store's lease is up.
I don't care. His lease is up. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. This was your second store. She has a whole different story, by the way. She has a whole different story.
May I explain?
Sure.
The Gainesville store is my only store. The Newberry store was closing on March 30th. The overhead was too high. All of the merchandise had to be out by March 30th.
And so all the merchandise was moving to Gainesville?
Very little that was left.
All the merchandise was moving to Gainesville,
yes,
is what
ma'am.
You just said to me.
What would be left, yes.
What would be left was moving to Gainesville, which is why, at least in the minds of a rational person, why your partner had to be out of the store. Are you still in business in Gainesville?
I haven't had the doors open.
Are you still in business in Gainesville?
The license is open, yes. There's been no purchases in more than 6 weeks.
You pay rent there last month?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. So you're still in business in Gainesville. Has all the stuff been moved yet from your other location to Gainesville?
No, Your Honor.
Because you have another couple of weeks to go before it has to be out.
No, it's because I asked the landlords in Newberry to extend my lease a couple months. With all of this that's been going on, I couldn't get out in time.
Okay. Now, you illegally locked them out,
tenant. They had all access to come in the store.
You changed the locks on the 18th.
I wanted only business hours for them to be in there.
You changed the locks and you changed the rules on the 18th so that she couldn't get access to her business for which she had already paid that month's rent. You changed the locks.
I wanted to be present when they were in the store.
I don't care what you wanted. Then don't go into business with people.
Can I explain what happened with an oak table being moved and tipped over when I was not in the store in the middle of the night?
Who was in the store?
The defendants.
Who was in the store? Who witnessed that?
They had
tape?
They had the only access. He said the next morning, sorry about the table being laid on its side.
Just a second. You had no reason to lock them out other than the fact, madam, that you wanted that premises for your own merchandise.
It's not true.
Can't do that. I'm just letting you know you can't do that. Now you can prove to me that they caused any damage to the premises, because that you also can't do. You can't engage in acts of vandalism. Go. When did the vandalism take place? What date?
On the 6th, 8th, 11th. Remember, they had all access to come in when the doors were open.
I don't have to remember anything.
The defendants would come in and hang up signs announcing that the Smart Shop, which didn't exist in this location, was moving and confused my customers.
They didn't, don't care. They didn't. What's next? Vandalism.
They left the store in this state.
Date?
This is by February 8th, 2014.
Just a second. February 7th, the store was in good condition. Is that what you're telling me?
There was...
Pay attention to me.
The store was in a condition of nasty signage, and the merchandise had all been moved to blockade any customers reaching their merchandise. All of the furniture was moved to cut the store in
half. Perfect. I think that's a very good idea. Now, what I'm asking you is, on the 7th of February, was the store in a reasonable condition, or had it been vandalized prior to February 7th?
There was movement of merchandise.
I don't care about movement.
I cared about it because
I don't care what you care about.
Were climbing through.
I don't care what you care about.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Is this what you mean by vandalism, the vandalism of their own property?
I didn't use the word vandalism.
Miss Cook, anybody with half a brain, and you don't even have to go to law school, figured out exactly what happened here.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Thrift store owner Suzette Cook is suing former business partners Francis Nesbitt and her boyfriend Scott Smith for property damage to the store and loss of revenue. The defendants are countersuing for an unlawful eviction.
Now, this is what the store looked like when they moved their merchandise out on February 8th.
That's February 8th. Their merchandise was not out until February 13th.
So what is this?
That's the area where their merchandise was. These are their shelving units, their...
This is their stuff?
This is their stuff. That's what the store looked like when you walked in, yes.
Just a second, but this is their stuff, their half. Is that right?
Correct.
So?
So it's a safety violation. I can't have customers in there.
Well, then you shouldn't have gone into business with somebody and then told them to leave and locked them out. How are they supposed to get their stuff out in a neat, orderly way?
They could come in anytime they wanted. We lived two houses away from the store.
Did they have a key to the premises?
Not after hours. They could not get in.
My question,
they could only be in the store during working hours.
Just a sec. You just said they could come in whenever they wanted to. And I said to you, did they have their key? And instead of giving me an answer in a passive-aggressive way, you said they could come in whenever they wanted to during store hours, which means if you let them in.
Correct. Okay. Because I want...
Okie dokie. Is this what you mean by vandalism, the vandalism of their own property? Is this the damage that you're talking about?
I didn't use the word vandalism.
But that's what you're suing for.
Disruption of the store. I would like to add that we agreed after Ms. Nesbitt knew she was leaving, we had a friendly exchange about I would keep the store open extra hours to sell her merchandise. She would come in and sell merchandise on both sides, both parties. This is the unified front that we were supposed to have. And then all of a sudden...
I'd like to take a look at that. Don't give me a whole bunch of papers. Just so you said you had an agreement. Let me see it. She says to you, I will continue to work as often as I can to sell merchandise. And this is on January 7th. So I can get out as soon as possible. I would appreciate your continued help to sell my items to make it as smooth and quick as possible. And you say, you know, I'll be working every day for the most open hours for sure. I'm switching hours for the store soon to Friday through Tuesday so I can do journalism stuff 2 days a week and edit better for the next issue. So what are you telling me?
At this point, we had decided to continue as is to sell each other's merchandise.
You locked her out on the 18th of January after those were written. You locked her out of the premises. Could you give this back to her? This was January 7th. You locked her out by changing the locks on January 18th. What's next?
She had no business license to operate the Smart Shop in this location.
Ms. Cook.
It was all under the Artsy Smartsy umbrella.
Ms. Cook, anybody with half a brain, and you don't even have to go to law school, figured out exactly what happened here.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I went down on February the 1st to talk about rent, and the shop was locked, and she had signs up.
Okay, would you tell me your version of what precipitated your moving?
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy. Thrift store owner Suzette Cook says former business partners Frances Nesbitt and her boyfriend Scott Smith owe for property damage to the store and loss of revenue.
Now, we decided to open a second location. She had a whole bunch of stuff. She said, I'll go into business with you. It'll be another part of my income because it'll be a secondary income for me. I'll split the cost of the lease with you, which she did right down the middle. She moved into half the store. You moved into half the store. At some point, and she's going to tell me her version of what it was that caused the move. You gave me some nonsense about a bedroom set being outside. That's a code violation. Or she said to you, I think I'm going to move out. She says that actually you called her and told her that you wanted her out. However, on January 18th, you changed the locks and changed the rules on this business arrangement. And the vandalism that you are actually suggesting here that caused you to lose business was her half of the store moving out piecemeal and not making it look pretty. And it did not look pretty. But that's not vandalism. That's taking what I want. Maybe I'll take it and try to get rid of it someplace else at a flea market. Maybe I'll sell some pieces to another consignment shop. But this is her half of the store. And I gather the thrust of your complaint is that she made her half of the store look messy, which affected your business. Doesn't wash. Now, I'm going to hear about your illegal lockout. That happened on January 18th?
19th, Your Honor.
19th. Tell me about it.
Scott and I went down to the shop, and it was around 10 o'clock at night, and the shop was locked. I called the police department, and then they said they couldn't do anything.
Don't tell me what they said.
Okay.
You called the police department on the 19th?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. How long did it take you to remove your property?
Well, we started packing on February the 8th.
Did you pay her for February's rent?
No, Your Honor. I went down on February the 1st to talk about rent, and the shop was locked, and she had signs up.
Okay. Would you tell me your version of what precipitated your moving?
Yes, Your Honor. I got a Facebook message from Suzette Cook saying that if my merchandise were not in the store, she could quadruple her income, and she
did not. Have that message?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'd like to see it. Now I got the whole message. Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So it is clear, Ms. Cook, that you were the one who precipitated the move. I mean, the Facebook message is clear as a bell. It says, I'm thinking that it doesn't make sense to give up from you half the space in the store for just $500 a month when I could make quadruple that amount if I stocked it with my own merchandise. So after you said you were thinking of leaving, I started to feel I need to do what's best for my financial situation. Take your time moving out. Let's aim for the end of February, if that time frame works for you. She says to you in her answer, I do think it would have been more courteous of you to discuss this in person instead of by a Facebook message. I never said I was leaving. I expressed discouragement at times when there are slow days like most people in retail. I asked you today if you wanted a business partner, if you wanted the shop to yourself, because I suspected that you really wanted the shop to yourself. The end of February is too soon for me. Just today, I purchased items for the shop after I left work. So I need several more months to continue. That was on January 7th, and on, according to you, the 18th, you changed the locks. Do I have that time frame right?
You do.
Judgment for the defendant on the counterclaim in the amount of $5,000. That's all. Your claim is dismissed. Goodbye.
Excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You say he agreed to pay $200 a month.
Right.
Mothers usually don't sue their sons. I usually get paid for my tutorials, but I'm going to give it to you for free.
Judge Judy,